Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and with me is Phil Conlon of Classical Underground, Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. And today we're going to be talking, of course, about the excitement in the United States and the transition to our new president. And I say our, I mean by that, that Canada does pretty much what the US wishes on all significant questions. And therefore it's a very significant as to who our leader is. We don't get to vote for them, but we do follow what they say. And so there is a transition taking place in the United States. So we'll talk about that. And of course the continuing COVID 19 matter and what is being done here. Good to see you, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Phil. Thanks.
Let's just say here at the top, talking about immediate problems of COVID-19, I'd say that I hope that people are noticing that we are, you know, the whole place is run by Dr. Doolittle and his associate too late. We still have a problem of, because of the kind of social system we have. We have a capitalist system. We have a strange governmental construct where provincial leaders, urban leaders get to have a lot of authority. And at a time when you have a pandemic, the problems with this kind of order are brought to light. In the United States, they are now telling each other what has been evident for a long time. They don't have a public health system. I read, for example, that the Democratic governor of California, Newsom, I think his name is, a liberal, he's unable to get the vaccine rollout that is everybody's hoping is a panacea. Obviously it's not, by the way. You're in the midst of a disaster and the disaster continues while you talk about rollout. But Texas, which has a very reactionary governor as far as I know, is actually performing better in terms of making vaccine available to the public. So it tells you something about, you know, the bigger tragedy that the Americans actually ought to be looking at. And nobody wants to answer the question, why don't we have a public health system? Or why did this strange contraption that they have, why that isn't addressed? And the major parties actually, as far as I know, have no plan to do anything about the system they've got. It's dominated by free enterprise. It's very expensive, and it cannot cope with a public health disaster such as COVID-19. And we have to point out that we do have a World Health Organization, and it's honored in the breach in Canada and certainly in the United States. The United States has quit the World Health Organization, which is, I know I said this last week, I'm gonna keep on repeating it, because irrational behavior by so-called advanced societies, it should be the real crisis, the one that should get people into the streets. That is, in fact, is not happening. Canada remains a member of the World Health Organization, but we have the opposition parties putting a lot of pressure on the government because in line with the United States government, they are looking to try to place a political responsibility for this pandemic on a particular country, China. So they're putting corrupt, wicked political interests ahead of public health, actually. They want to find an excuse to be angry with the World Health Organization. They need to be very angry with the current mediocre leadership in every quarter in Canada and in every quarter in the United States in dealing with this pandemic. As always, I mentioned that we have a doctor, a prominent one, Dr. Aylward, who's at the World Health Organization, and he told us 1 year ago, he began to say what is necessary if you want to control and eliminate the virus. But the problem is that formula can only work if you have a public health system that is addressing the needs of the people first and taking considerations of corporations and bankers and financial people and monopoly interests, big stores and et cetera, strip parlors in Toronto. If you don't have a public health system that is disciplined and capable and financed and well-directed, which is what Dr. Aylward tells you you must have, which led him into his notorious problem. He praised a country that has 1.4 billion people and which has effectively contained the virus and is functioning above all expectations in production and getting the economy going. The International Monetary Fund and World Bank projects that China this year is going to be about something like a growth 7.9%. Incredible. And they are the ones who first experienced this. And Dr. Aylward, being a doctor, told us why. He said because they tackled the problem, treated it seriously. And the people who lead this class-divided society either don't or won't do what is needed to be done. So, Phil, we have let's move to the other matter of the what has happened in the United States, because, of course, as I say, it's a Canadian issue, because everybody wants to decide what they think of this kerfuffle or what happened at the United States Congress last week. You followed this, Phil?
I've been following it very closely and also keeping my eye on things that are around that issue, like what's the Secretary of State, Mr. Pompeo, been up to while everybody's attention is elsewhere on President Trump as an individual and things like that. But yes, I've been keeping a close eye on it. I know, by the way, that there were some Canadians who participated in the mayhem in Washington, D.C. And one of them is in hot water with her employer here in Ontario, which is interesting.
Okay.
But I guess there's several angles to talk about. Where do we start?
Pardon me?
I said there's several angles to talk about here. Where do we start?
Yeah, well, I would say that you raised a very nice point there about Pompeo. You say while people are otherwise occupied. Actually, I think the problem there is that they are not otherwise occupied. They agree with the work of Trump's very aggressive, belligerent Secretary of State. Actually, and Trump himself. This is all this palaver about how he is crazy, he's unhinged, and incident, this is not new. I mean, they began, he barely got into office, and the language about his irrationality and his impulsiveness and his bullying was talked about. However, they endorsed everything he did in this and foreign affairs having to do with, for example, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Morocco, Israel, the Democrats did not give him a hard time. You say Pompeo, yes, Pompeo has done something which could precipitate easily a disaster. Pompeo has sent the American United Nations ambassador to Taiwan, and he has announced that the United States will no longer restrain its diplomatic interaction with Taiwan. Well, Taiwan is part of China. There is they have a policy called One China, Two Systems that has to do with Macau, Hong Kong. But when China was voted into the United Nations on the initiative of African states, it was the African states, particularly Tanzania, led the charge to put the country with 1 billion people at that time, that probably had a mere 900 million, I don't know, into the United Nations. It excluded Taiwan from which was represented itself as China. At that time, they were regarded by the United States and others as China. So the decision was made by the international body and agreed to that there was one China and that those people on Taiwan, representing Taiwan, would be part of China. That's why we've had this kind of sophisticated game of now flirting with the idea that Taiwan should be independent. It actually is still officially known as the Republic of China. And probably, my guess is, the most powerful people on the island of Taiwan are actually the old Kuomintang people of Chiang Kai-shek. And so Pompeo has decided to play with that. And the Democrats have not registered a bleep of objection. So is that Biden's policy? Nobody's asking him. Recently, President Trump moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in violation of all international agreements and understandings and undertakings by all the powers. And the Democrats had no problem with that. Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, said privately told people that that was his idea, Schumer's idea. So what had been a verboten is now okay. Also, he recognized Israel's sovereignty over the West Bank, the Golan Heights. Golan Heights is Syrian territory. All other states in the world know that. That you can't seize in a war, you're not permitted to hold land that you've captured, and that's subject to adjudication, et cetera, but just not, you don't make it part of your territory. That's understood. Not anymore. Democrats are perfectly comfortable with that. In the knocking heads together amongst the monarchs of the Middle East, Trump now has got the UAE, and they have everybody on board except Saudi Arabia so far into a new relationship with the state of Israel, which had been a common agreement amongst Arab states. They would not do that until the Palestinian matter was democratically appropriately resolved. And one of the last states to be corralled into this new ugly, foolish alignment is Morocco. And the way they sealed the deal on Morocco was to say, declare that the United States recognizes Morocco's claim to the Western Sahara. So, I mean, do you like war? Because Morocco's claim of sovereignty over the Western Sahara was the basis of a war. It was only when it was agreed that there'd be a resolution of the matter in a peaceful way that that the war ended, and there is a process, an internationally arranged process to resolve the issue of the Western Sahara. But Trump, his administration said, no, we, and as a reward for Morocco being nice on the Israel question, recognition matter, we are going to recognize their illegal claim, improper claim to be sovereign in the Western Sahara. Of course, Americans, Canadians too, regard this as some kind of board game, I guess, or something they play, you know, they're looking at, it's electronic, doesn't mean a thing. Actually, the human beings in the region who are going to fight about this, and the international community, by the way, so as it's called, but, well, it does exist in the form of the United Nations. The United Nations doesn't agree with this at all, at all. But it happened, and we're talking about, you know, we're going to have a new president, and he's going to correct everything. All those things, Phil, all those things carried out by Trump without any objection from the Democratic Party. Not, certainly not by Joe Biden. So in a way, it's kind of like they see him in the neighbor's yard stealing things, and they see him setting fire to other people's property. But since they themselves don't like those people, they don't call him to account for that. But when he comes back home, then they say, well, hey, you can't act like that here. You can do it to the neighbors. Go ahead, burn their house, steal things. And when you're done, actually, we'll just take those things. Thank you very much. And but there's absolute perfect continuity with Trump.
Well, if I could comment on how perfect the continuity will be, it's that Joe Biden has just appointed to be a senior official in his State Department, Virginia Nuland, well known for bringing cookies to Maidan Square in 2014 under President Obama and was it Secretary Kerry, I guess. Of course, we know that as a result of what the Americans did there under a Democratic president, that it unleashed a horrible right-wing extremist movement, which has become, if not dominant, extremely powerful in Ukraine, much to the detriment of the Ukrainian people and to the neighbors. And so this is one of her great accomplishments. And now Biden has invited her back for maybe she can do some more.
Well, indeed. Actually, I saw today an organization, World Without War, I think it's called, and they are petitioning, asking people to sign it, not to appoint Victoria Nuland. But you know, and I appreciate that. I understand what they're thinking, but you see, they're not objecting to the policy. Why would talk about Nuland? You're right to raise her because that shows continuity. But it's, of course, not her. She's a hireling. So, you know, he's going to be the president and he has a policy and he needs people who will carry the policy out. Victoria Nuland is one of his people. I mean, after all, the new Biden administration is the old Obama administration. The personnel so far have all been really the same group. Actually, I thought today we might even say that the presidency of the United States, as it is passed back and forth between the two parties, creates a kind of Groundhog Day for the American people. If you remember, and people do, apparently, you know, we really ought to talk about people's memories. When Obama came into office, he was regarded as a savior from what had what they characterized as a mad, irrational government under Bush the Little, or Bush II. If you people will remember the names Rumsfeld, Cheney, they were regarded in the mass media as psychopaths, as madmen who'd gone too far. And we had Abu Ghraib, and we had the Guantanamo Marine base, where people were being tortured and all that, and still are. I mean, they're anyway, Guantanamo's there. So when Obama took over, we were told Obama will unify the American people, and he will not do stupid things. He was a Harvard man, and Bush had gone to Yale, and there was a big distinction. And he was he got a Nobel Prize, etc. Well, but then he bombed and destroyed Libya. You're right, Victoria Nuland was the point person to overthrow, and the government of Ukraine, and to name its new leaders. We on the Taylor Report, and Phil, you remember, we interviewed people and read out the text, and this is not a disputed matter. Victoria Nuland was on the phone in the days of the seizure of power in Ukraine, and she instructed the ambassador to Ukraine in a choice of leaders for Ukraine. And it's curious to be reminding ourselves of this, because people are talking about what has happened in Washington a few days ago when they called that a coup. Well, they should ask Victoria Nuland about coups, because she actually is an expert. And so she would be able to explain that, no, that's not a coup. Coup is where you're able to cultivate new leaders, establish ties with them, direct crowds of people, not for a few hours, but for days and weeks on end. A coup is also involves technique, such as entering into an agreement on how power will be, a peaceful transition will be take place, involving the rights of the people, their right to vote, and the protection of speech, etc. That was done while they were creating crowds in Kiev. They signed an agreement of all the people that she wanted to take power. They all signed an agreement, and it was overseen by Poland, and France was involved, and others. And in the agreement, they said, okay, in order to calm people down and to effect a new government, the president agrees that he will be only in office in a powerless way. That is, he will not be exercising executive power, but he'd be there, an interim president. And there will be an election of a new government. And he had already said, by the way, that there was going to be an election in 6 months, but they said, no, we have a crisis, so we're going to move it up. It'll be in 2 months, I forget what the time frame. He said all that. And they all agreed. And then, after they signed the agreement, the crowd went on the attack and seize power. So that was a coup. That's an actual coup. And now we have Mad Hatters in the United States describing the disorder and criminal conduct of a mob. It was a mob, and claiming it was a coup and that it was sedition and, frankly, a bunch of inflated language. It's time for people to actually sober up, I think, and say, well, you know, if someone committed a crime, arrest him. But to now we're moving on to, okay, now Twitter is going to help us all out. And they're going to, this wonderful private operation is going to tell us who we can hear, read, and who we can't. I want to read something from Ajamu Baraka. Now, Ajamu Baraka was the Green Party candidate, vice presidential candidate in the 2016 election. He was a particularly well-spoken individual. He seems to me always keep a keen eye on the truth and how, and also the decent principled way of analyzing things. Here's what he says about today's situation. He says, do not be confused. Twitter, Google, and Facebook are part of the ideological apparatus of the state and are carrying out the political agenda of the dominant liberal rulers. The argument that they are private is the point. Mass control of thought and speech has been privatized. I'm sorry, were you saying something, Phil?
No.
Okay, sure. So that's Ajamu Baraka. I think is the Gray Zone and Ben Norton, I urge people to go to their sites. When I say Gray Zone, that's Max Blumenthal. Caitlin Johnson has had many things to say. She writes the following. We need to stop fascism, so let's give massive sweeping powers to an elite alliance of unelected authoritarians. A good joke. And of course, Max Blumenthal has made the point that you were raising, Phil. He says, it's a time to recall the many instances of establishment media hacks praising Trump for inciting violence and orchestrating coups against elected leaders abroad. You know, we left out, I forgot to mention, Bolivia, Venezuela, and others have posted, as pointed out, that Trump threatened nuclear war against Iran. He threatened nuclear war against North Korea, and Twitter didn't think that was bad. He didn't say, oh no, you shouldn't say that. No, that was permitted. And I think, Phil, there's some other matters we should be talking about in case in a matter to do with Washington and what happened. And we're going to take a break and come back. But when we do, we should be focused, I think, on what the Trump phenomena is and also where people called socialists in America, one of whom those people being Bernie Sanders, this woman called, now known by the letters AOC, how they look at things. But according to, you know, the Taylor report, this is not being, the analysis we're seeing out of those quarters and from major outlets in the United States are highly misleading, inappropriate, politically dangerous, et cetera. So this is the Taylor Report. By the way, we are on Facebook and SoundCloud. I think you can help me with this, Phil, but I think we are the Taylor Report .com on Facebook, and we are Taylor-Report on
SoundCloud.
There you go. Well, anyway, we'll get back to this. This is the Taylor Report. We'll be back in a moment.